Let's pray. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's a gonna trouble the water. Creator of living water, move among us. Giver of the living waters, move throughout us. O great spirit that hovers over the water, move within us. Amen. This has been a busy week at Severna Park, as you have no doubt picked up simply by walking through our building. There are hundreds of children this past week coming to Vacation Bible School to hang out at the surf shack and ride the wave of God's great love. And the week was filled with water-themed stories as the kids learned about creation and the baby Moses on the river and Jesus calming the storm and much, much, much more. All week, I was so proud to be the pastor of a church where the children were put front and center in what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I was so impressed by the skilled leadership of our director of children's ministries, Erica Benjamin, as she wrangled these hundreds of volunteers and kids into just an amazing week filled with God's love. Today at the 9:30 service, the VBS kids and volunteers shared songs and stories, and the group from this coming week will share next Sunday during this 11 o'clock service. And I have to admit that I am really looking forward to week two of VBS, when I will be the one dressed up like a crab as Snappy the Crab. So stay tuned for that. The week of water stories, though, got me thinking a lot about this, one of my favorite scripture stories, the text we heard today, the story of the woman at the well. And since I spoke about the sacrament of Holy Communion when I preached for you all 2 weeks ago, I thought it would be appropriate for me to take this opportunity to teach about the sacrament of baptism. And after we have celebrated Anna's baptism, what better day? While no actual baptism takes place in this scripture text, I paid attention. I know this is not actually a text that's a story about baptism. I do think that the woman's encounter with Jesus at the well shows us how baptism is relational, transformational, and missional. And in this, you all know I'm still learning my way around the sanctuary, right? You'll give me a little grace here. So in the United Methodist Church, just here's a little sacramental 101, we recognize two sacraments, baptism and communion. For those of you keeping score, this is a little bit different than the Catholic Church, where they recognize seven sacraments. And it's also a little bit different than the Baptist Church, where they recognize ordinances but not sacraments. So when we say in the Methodist Church that we recognize two sacraments, we're talking about particular instruments of God's grace, particular places, as John Wesley said, by which God doth work invisibly in us, and not only quicken but strengthen and confirm our faith. The sacraments are really unique means of grace that meet these four criteria. They're commanded by Christ. They're an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual reality. They truly convey the grace that they represent. And they are received by us through faith. So in other words, sacraments are an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual reality. They're physical things we do together, messy, tactile things that we do. But things that enact what's actually happening at a deeper, inner, spiritual level. So let's take baptism as an example and see how it fits these four things. Number one, commanded by Christ. Therefore, go, Jesus said. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism, we can check that one off. It was not only commanded by Christ, but demonstrated in his own baptism and in the ministry of his disciples. Number two, outward and visible. In baptism, there is that outward sign that you saw today, that physical sign of washing, the physical action that we do together. And that outward washing is a visible sign of what we believe God has done and is doing in baptism, washing away all our sin and shame. So, commanded by Christ, outward and visible sign. Number three, conveys the grace it represents. This one's a little tricky, so I'm going to explain it a little more. We believe that baptism is what I'm going to call an efficacious sign. So, in other words, it actually does what it looks like it's doing when it happens. So when a child is baptized, we're not saying that this is a physical symbol of something that God did a while ago or God's going to do someday. We're saying, no, in this moment, when Anna had water on her head, we believe God was actually doing something in that moment to actually wash her in a mysterious and deep and spiritual way. Or to put it another way, if you can visualize the practice of baptism by full immersion, the outward sign of physically descending into the waters and then rising back up out of the waters actually represents and truly accomplishes the inward grace of dying to Christ and then being raised to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, four. In baptism, God's grace is given freely and then received by us in faith. For adults, this happens kind of all at once, so it's really easy to understand. God chooses to give us a gift of love without cost, without requiring anything, and then the adult, as they are baptized, receives that gift of love by acknowledging, accepting, and trusting it. When infants are baptized, it works a little bit differently. God still gives God's grace without price. But then, as Lee's blessing said, when the child is old enough to claim their faith in confirmation, it comes full circle. And they are able to fully receive for themselves God's gift of love by acknowledging, accepting, and trusting it. So, I think we've done our homework. Baptism counts as a sacrament. I've done my job, I can go home now, right? Baptism is commanded by Christ, outward and visible sign, conveys grace truly, and it is received by us in faith. So, what in the world does this all have to do with the story of the woman at the well, the actual scripture from the Bible that we read this morning? Well, I would argue that the story of the woman at the well follows the same shape as the sacrament of baptism. So even though the woman doesn't actually get baptized in this passage, her encounter with Jesus is relational, transformational, and missional. And so as we seek to follow Jesus, this story shows us what a true encounter with God's grace looks like. The gospel tells us that when Jesus first speaks to the woman, she is shocked. After all, this was a man speaking to a woman, a Jew speaking to a Samaritan, key players crossing enemy lines in a casual conversation. When this woman comes to the well, I imagine that she expected her social status as a Samaritan and her gender to kind of build a wall around her, preventing conversations and relationships. If nothing else, I imagine that by planning to walk to the well at noon that day, in the heat of the day, she expected it would protect her from curious eyes and whispers. But then, in the midst of all her fears, as she comes to the well, Jesus cuts through it all with a question and an invitation to relationship. And he doesn't just stay on the surface, you know, sitting at a well, talking about water, like you would do talking about water when you're at a well. No, Jesus gets deep and dives deep into what's really happening in her life. regardless of why she may have had five husbands through death or some other circumstance, when you bring up a woman's five past husbands, you're going right to the heart of her life experience. And so Jesus goes there. He sees her for who she is. He knows exactly what she has been through. And yet Jesus loves her and respects her fully as a full child of God. Regardless of what any of her neighbors might have thought, Jesus saw this woman as a worthy conversation partner, an intelligent woman who could discuss the theology of the day about where to worship with him, a strong believer who was worthy of being the first person who heard what Jesus' true identity and mission was. Friends, this is what baptism is like. It's relational. In baptism, God takes all our old relationships and brings us into new relationships with a new identity as members of God's family. In baptism, we gain a whole new set of relationships, for good or for ill, as we make a new covenant with God and with the church. It's not just about promise keeping. See, it's about relationship. Because in baptism, God places us right in the middle of a new family, a new set of relationships, a new way of living and loving where we do things differently here in this place. Like any family, you can choose to embrace your family traditions as you grow up, or you can choose to walk away and forge your own path. But just like any family, like it or not, once you're born into the family, you are in that family for good. Once you've been baptized, you are part of God's family forever. This is a relationship that God will never walk away from, and it's a relationship that can be trusted. The gospel tells us that when the disciples returned to the well, the woman put down her water jar and went into the city. Now, you know I've read this passage before this week, but when I read this passage this week for this sermon, I was really caught by this detail. The woman put down her water jar and then walked away and went back into the city. Why would a woman in the ancient world, I assume she has no running water, walk away from her water jar in the middle of the day and leave it there? Unless she no longer needed that water. See, when the woman came to the well, she came with a thirst for water. She came as part of her daily routine, I imagine, a necessary chore to quench her thirst. But when she arrived at the well, she encountered Jesus and was transformed by the one who offers living water. And so, like the wine steward at the wedding in Cana, the woman discovers that life with Jesus offers abundantly more than anything you could ask for or imagine. She leaves her water jar behind because her need for water has been filled by living water, and it's even been superseded by the discovery that this Jesus is the Messiah, the great I Am, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. This is what baptism is like. It's transformational. In baptism, we are truly changed. For baptism truly accomplishes what it looks like it accomplishes. In baptism, the guilt of sin is washed away, and we receive the promises of God's forgiveness and restoration. And as this happens, we're incorporated into the church, adopted into God's family, and made heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Many, many may come to the church seeking maybe a one-time forgiveness of sins or maybe just a get-out-of-hell-free ticket at the baptismal font. But when we come to the baptismal waters, we discover that God offers far more than anything we could ever hope for or imagine. The gospel tells us that when the woman is transformed by Jesus, She does not stay there at the well with Jesus or even ask to become one of his disciples. No, the woman's encounter with Jesus leads her out to share what she has experienced. The gospel tells us that the woman goes into the city and says, "Come and see the man who has told me everything I have ever done. Could this man be the Christ?" See, this woman truly becomes the first preacher, the first one to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, the first one to proclaim that God's kingdom is here among us in the person of Jesus. Her encounter with Christ is not a one-time event that stops at the well. No, her encounter leads her to witness. And her witness begins the cycle all over again for those Samaritan citizens in Sychar. Because once they have heard the good news, those people too experience relationship as they invite Jesus to stay. They experience transformation as they too come to believe. And they also are moved into mission as they embrace Jesus as the Savior, the text says, of the whole world. This is what baptism is like. It's missional. In baptism, this one-time-only sacrament, we become part of God's family and we do receive God's grace. But the relationship and transformation that we encounter at baptism does not stay here at the baptismal font. No, no, no. This relationship and transformation leads us out into mission. For when we encounter God's love and grace here, we naturally want to share it with others. I spent the last week getting to know some of the mission leaders at this church and getting to know more about your missions programs. And see, I've noticed this to be true, that our missions here are not just born out of a desire to do good or a desire to make the world a better place. No, no, no. It goes deeper than that, all the way back to the baptismal font. For as it says in 1 John, we love because God first loved us. This is why you'll notice this as I wear my clergy robes. Every time I robe, I'll wear this cross, which I received at my confirmation when I embraced God's grace for my own. Is a reminder for me that anything that I do in ministry is born out of my baptism, the place where I first received God's grace. And as I meet ministry leaders here at this church, I continue to praise God for all the ways that the Spirit has transformed lives here. Over and over again, I meet people who serve because they first were served. From youth counselors who serve because they know what it was like to be in youth group and to be transformed, to a recovering alcoholic who now seeks to pull others out of addiction. All that we have and all that we give comes from all that we have received. We do not give or serve naively. We give and serve because we have received. The missional spirit is alive in our baptism. We love because God first loved us. Friends, this scripture text, this beautiful story from the Gospel of John, is written as an invitation. It's written in such a way that welcomes us to see Jesus through the eyes of the woman at the well. Today, as I baptized Anna and we welcomed her into our Christian family, we too were invited to remember and participate in our own baptisms. Now, if you have not been baptized and I've been speaking over your head this whole time, I do invite you to please seek me out. Seek out Reverend Lee, Reverend Ron. We would love to talk to you about being baptized into the family of Christ. But if you have been baptized, then I invite you this morning to wade deeper into the waters of your baptism. Don't leave it behind as a distant memory, a 3x5 photo in your parents' photo album. Instead, dwell in the relationship of love that God offers. Be transformed by the Spirit. And then, ultimately, be sent out to love and serve in Jesus' name. Amen.